in 2020. You remember that 2020 year? The theme that I chose was a heart fully devoted to the Word of God. And we certainly need that, didn't we? We held on to the Word of God and to the solid rock of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Word through that tumultuous year. We needed the unmovable foundation of God's Word as our freedoms, norms, and politics shifted and swayed. In 2021, only God knew what lay ahead, and gratefully He laid on my heart the need for humility, because we needed that in abundance in 2021. And throughout that year, as we navigated the increasing tension in the state, our country, our city, and even our homes, 2021, a humble life is a sweet testimony of God's work in our lives and helps us draw closer to God with a right attitude. Humility will also attract unsaved people to at least listening to the gospel. So in 2021, the theme was joyfully displaying the humility of Christ. 2022, I remember Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our theme was life with the emphasis on the indwelling Holy Spirit. And this last year's theme that we just switched on the front of your bulletin was be a light and use your light. Don't just be a light, but use it. Well, here we are again. This is the this will be my 12th year, beginning my 12th year, and we've done themes most of the years. But in thinking back 12 years ago, on the first Sunday that this church was turned over, well, this last Sunday prior, Hank preached my installation service. The next Sunday, I was sick, throwing up, and I missed a few Sundays, maybe for sickness, but not too many since then. But as I think about this, it's hard to believe that we're 24 years removed from Y2K and all of that debacle. But anyway, I digress. 24 years since 2000. I mean, it's just, it doesn't seem like yesterday in some sense, but it seems like not too long ago. And certainly our world looks a lot different in 2024 than it did in 2000 or 2010 or 2020. And so as we come to this new year, the day tomorrow is another day, just 24 hours, just like it is today. So in that regard, it's the same. It's another day. But in our time, since we used years and days, and hours, we only know time. As we enter a new year, as we come to 2024, I was trying to figure out a theme. Sometimes they come easier than others. Sometimes they just come by reading the Bible and saying, okay, this is what I think we could use for this year. And certainly we could pick lots of subjects that would be applicable for any year, especially where we sit in 2024. But this year, Courtney's school, Ebenezer, where she goes to school, and this is the last year at Ebenezer. We've had our kids, this is, what, 8 years, 9 years, and we're done with Ebenezer. She's graduating from eighth grade, and so we say goodbye to them. And I have three high schoolers next year, but Ebenezer chooses a theme as well. And Judy was like, why don't you just use the theme they're using? And because it's very applicable. And so they've been talking about it. Every chapel is dedicated to the theme. Every speaker talks about it. But it's rooted in Christ. And it's very easy to teach young people a subject like that, a theme like that, rooted, because young people can relate to roots and trees and fruit and those things. And so I came, of course, immediately, and this I think is the theme verse as well, and they quote it and every time they have chapel, and they've learned the verses in their Bible classes. But in Colossians chapter 2 is the theme behind this. And so I would like to take this and talk a little bit today about what it means to become rooted in Christ. It's great to have a theme. It's great to say these words, but it doesn't mean a whole lot if we don't understand what it means. And so this morning, I want us to be encouraged today by the title of the message, Becoming Rooted in Christ, as we discuss the theme of Rooted in Christ. Recently, as I've told you, Lisa has been over, well, recently, it has been a couple months now, but she had been over for the late summer, early fall, cleaning in our yard. She's preparing for the potential and hopefully of being able to plant a garden at our property, since she can't have a garden at her property, and our grounds for gardening have kind of been going downhill and not been happening the last few years. And so I got, you know, the idea, said, you know, Lisa, you can have these spots. If you want your own garden, you can tend to it, and you can plant, and you can harvest, and you can share, and it can maybe become a community for a way that she can use it for the community. And our garden spot, since we have a little room there, and we have two spots, and hopefully you're going to make it bigger when we get rid of the trampoline, since it's not being used anymore, and double the size of the old garden spot. But anyway, she was cleaning up and pruning and gardening, and she came across a dead tree. And she said to me, I think we need to get rid of this tree. And it was a tree that has kind of been in my way anyway. I've hit my head on its branches in the past, so I was a little excited that we could get rid of this tree. It was sat at the corner of one of the corners of my office. And so as I helped her get this tree out of there, the part above ground came out rather easily, but the roots and one part that was connected to the roots, like literally, and it was I think it was a nut tree, wasn't it? A nut tree. This, we're not talking a big evergreen tree. We're not pulling that. It wasn't dead, but it was something that was came out rather easily, but except one section, and it was the section that was the big section connected to the roots. And what we started to find, and it's underneath the evergreen trees in our play on the property line, and the neighbors has his big evergreen trees that I always wonder when they're going to come crashing down in the south windstorm. Hence the reason why we took four of ours out after the Hanukkah Eve storm in 06, which is another story for another day. But that was the last time I stayed at my parents' house. We got out of our house. Judy and I left our house in the middle of that storm because I was convinced one of those trees was going to come crashing down on my house. I just left in the middle of the night. It was like late at night. We came and stayed at your house. You do it? Oh, I do. That's okay. I remember a lot of things you don't. But as we pulled that tree up, there were roots of these evergreen trees kind of entwined and entangled in the roots of this nut tree. And I realized as I was looking at these roots and chopping them with an axe to try to and then trying to pull them up, that these roots were important. I mean, that wasn't the first time I realized that. But as I was working with them, it was these roots that were kind of entangled, holding me to get the last piece of this nut tree out. And of course, the axe wins, and I'm successful at the end. But I'm starting to see all these other roots, and they're long. Some of them are just below the surface, and we'll talk more about that in the next sermon. There's different type of root structures, but roots are important to trees for many reasons, as we'll talk about this morning. And so I decided to do some research about trees. I'm not an arborist, and I don't claim to know a whole lot about trees after my research online and reading a few websites, but roots are important. That's one of the things I learned. But we're very familiar, and we think most about what trees look like above ground. Right? We look at the beauty of the tree that we enjoy, or the color of the leaves, or the fruit that's born off the, or the lack of fruit. But the underground part of the tree is just as important. In fact, as I've read, quoting from one of my sources from some tree expert website, the roots are often the, quote, root of the tree health, failure, and longevity. The roots are often the root of tree health, failure, and longevity. In other words, to me, and this is not a Christian website, the roots are important. So when I come across a verse like Colossians 2, 6, and 7, I'm thinking this is important for us. We need this in 2024. We need to know, are we rooted in Christ? what areas could we be rooted, could I say, better? And that could look different from one person to another. Where do we need to grow? We can't just stay stagnant, as we often say here, because staying stagnant means you're probably going backwards. So in order to grow spiritually, we need to look at verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This was Northland Camp's theme verse, Colossians 2:6. I'm pretty sure they had a song that went with it. I don't know if I remember that, but I remember quoting these, memorizing these verses back in those days when I went to camp. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So as we come into this, it'll probably be a three-part message. It's usually what we do for the theme series, and then we'll get back to Hebrews. But we find, what I found, is that being rooted in Christ, and I want you to look at your notes, the opening paragraph there, involves digging deeply into the things and person of Jesus Christ, whereby we can stand amid life's storms as they batter us. Holding firmly onto or into Jesus Christ will keep us anchored in the depth of his being and character and keep us from being uprooted by the world. Now, that's a mouthful, and a lot of words that we could say are cliche-ish or cliches. I mean, we can talk about being rooted and being, you know, rooted in Christ. And of course, you know, if we just do that, then we'll stand up when the bad things come our way. And that's easier said than done. That's all good when things are going well. But what does it mean, really, and how do we become rooted in Christ? What does that look like? So that's what I want to look at in this opening message today. How do you even become rooted? What does that mean? What does that look like? You're saying, Pastor Andy, it's important. It's our theme, so it must be. He must think it's important if he's harping and hammering away at that. So what I did in this message to start with is try to understand verse 7 and what the word rooted means. First of all, the word's not used very many times in the Greek in the New Testament. There's not very many opportunities to even find corresponding verses. We're going to look at one of them next week in correlation with this message and how we become rooted and how we grow in this process of being rooted in Christ. And that will come out of the book of Ephesians. We'll look at that more next week. But what does the word mean? And the word, as I studied in the definitions and as I thought about it, here are the synonyms, here are the definitions or the descriptions of rooted that kept coming back up in my studies. Here's one, anchored. Anchored. We understand what an anchor is. Stuck in or stuck on. Stuck together. Steadfastly joined. With the emphasis on that steadfast. Connected. When you think of a root, and by the way, I just want to clarify, we might automatically think about the one root that goes straight down, that really big one, strong one, that you're going to find out in the message today is not what you may think it always is. But there are multiple types of root systems that go in different directions and different types. And each of these root systems are important to the tree or to the bush or to the living organism that they support. But they don't always necessarily go straight down. And often we think of a root being the something that we, you know, you have to dig miles to get it out, down. No, you know what I found with Lisa was some of the roots were mostly this way. But they supported this big, tall tree or bush. And they went in different directions and they look different. But the roots, it isn't necessarily this idea of direction downward as much as the roots are connected and they are important to life and they are connected to things in the soil, the water, the nutrients that they use to feed. And we need to think of that as we think of being rooted in Christ, to being connected with Christ. So we're not going to be rooted in Christ by being rooted in the things of the world. In other words, the things, the media and all the things that are being put out there is probably not going to help us for the most part being rooted in Christ. So the rooted in Christ comes from here and being connected to the book and to understanding who Christ is. And you say, well, I know a lot about Jesus. And most of us here could go on and on. But all of us would have to admit, even the oldest would have to admit, we don't know it all. We have so much we can learn, so much to grow yet, so much to dig into. God wants to continue to teach us. And whether you're 8 or 88 and everywhere in between, God wants us to be rooted in Christ and learn and grow, connect. And so as we come here, let me talk to you a little bit more about tree roots for a moment here. Tree root systems are made up of large permanent roots, which mainly provide anchorage, and I don't mean Anchorage, Alaska, but an anchoring to the ground and transport. But they also have many small temporary feeder roots and root hairs. You might have seen that when you've dug up a tree and looked at the roots. It's these small parts of the root system that are the primary water and nutrient absorbers. Many of these small roots function for only 1 or 2 years and either die or become a large part of the root system. In some ways, our illustrations of trees probably break down, as all illustrations do when we illustrate God's word. But I think we can get some basic truths from looking at the roots of the tree. Most tree roots do not penetrate very deeply into the soil. But of course, we want to penetrate deeply into Jesus Christ. So you can see where the illustration might break down a little bit there. But the idea of being connected and being anchored, that's what we're thinking about. Don't necessarily think about the depth of the root. Think about the connectivity and the anchoring and being coming to be steadfastly connected to Jesus Christ. Tree root systems cover more than one might expect. Usually they extend out in an irregular pattern, 2 to 3 times larger than the crown area. On a dry weight basis, it is said that the root to shoot, that's below to above ground, ratio is 20 to 80%. So what you see below is 20, what you see above is 80% of the whole structure. So those root systems are supporting some large things above ground. There are lots and lots of things, and we won't talk too much more about the specific things about roots, but there's lots you could study about roots. There are websites for information. And there are probably some of you that are much better at gardening and have green thumbs than I do to understand about growing things. But what I've learned, there are 3 different types of major root systems. There is the tap root. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. There is the heart root, and there is the flat root. And we'll take each of those over the next 3 sermons and try to apply them as we look at God's word. So, as we look at what it means to be rooted in Christ, I put this in your notes. It means to connect your life firmly into the life of Jesus Christ. Rooted in Christ is characterized by finding our stability, our strength, and our success in all that Jesus Christ is, in what he has done, in what he's doing, and what he will do through us. In other words, anything that we do is because of Jesus Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So any success, and success is, of course, a gamut of definitions, but I'm thinking of the Joshua success. The one where God said, I will give you success if you what? Meditate on my law day and night and obey my commandments. That is what it means to be rooted in Jesus Christ. And so let's think for a moment about a taproot. About a taproot. There are some trees and actually some things you eat that are dominated by a taproot. But I'm thinking mostly of trees, but you could think of carrots. Carrots, right? Maybe also dandelions. I don't know how many of you eat the dandelion. There are things you can do with dandelions that are edible. I don't do that. But dandelions, carrots. But I'm thinking of the common species of some trees, like some oaks and pines and hickory and sweet gum and walnut that have tap roots. They are a big root that grows vertically downward. Of course, there's many smaller lateral roots that go with it, but it's a root that usually penetrates deep into the soil. These trees, and actually what I'm learning is that most trees start with a tap root. And it provides stability and absorption. And over time, other roots outgrow the tap root, and most tap roots don't continue to grow ever more deeply because the deep soil lacks the oxygen and nutrients that roots need to survive. But you get the picture of this taproot going down and digging into the ground to give support to a large structure above ground. That's the picture. And when you look at Colossians 2:7, it says rooted. And the Greek word riazu means to fix firmly, to be strengthened, to become stable, to be established. And in the definition of this Greek word, I found this: conceived of as if a plant being or becoming fixed in the ground. So it does have a connotation with a plant or with a tree. It means then to fix firmly. I think about the world we live in, an ever-changing world. The world changes more rapidly every day than it has the year before. The advances that have been made in so many different ways, and it's happening at so fast. You remember not too many years ago, well, some of you will, not the young people, but you will remember not too long ago the floppy disks and the first computers that you had in your home and the hard drives that weren't even hard drives. And now my friend Simeon comes over to use my computer to edit his photos. He used to come here to church, but he was over last night, and he's carrying a portable 4 terabyte hard drive with all of his photos on it so he can hook into my computer, edit the photos, and he's got lots of space, and he's taking large size pictures all the time, and he's got a 4 terabyte. I have a 14 terabyte backup drive. My neighbor just told me, Alex said he's got a small portable drive that's got 12 terabytes. He's going to come over and we're going to back up my computer at his place by using that little backup drive. I mean, just in 25, 30 years, we go from floppy disks to little disks to now the little sticks. And it just keeps getting smaller. And now we have Apple Watches. That, by the way, if Lisa were to call me right now, I could answer and you could all hear the conversation on my watch. The advancement of technology in all of these things comes with that technology comes many pitfalls, many the sand is sinking fast out there in the world. There has never been a more time, and obviously all throughout history we've needed to have this is true, but there isn't a more needed time to be rooted in Christ than right now. If I could be permitted, and I won't, to publicly tell you some of the things that I've had to counsel or hear about in the recent years that, frankly, not too long ago weren't being faced in this world to have to be dealt with. I mean, it's just crises and just things happening. Could you imagine being a policeman today? What about a judge? I remember when Abby her adoption was finalized and we went to our friend, right? And he's passed away now, but Judge, you're a Christian man. And we got to finalize, but I remember him saying this is the fun part of being a judge. It's the only part that's, you know, encouraging. Was for him to finalize an adoption because every day he's facing the worst. I remember doing a ride-along with Officer Divert in the Grants Pass Police Department when I was doing my youth internship in Grants Pass, Oregon in 1997. And he was telling me about all the negative things that, and this was back in the 90s, all the things he was having to face. And Some of the stuff I wouldn't even repeat to you. I can still remember some of the stories you told me. It's just incrementally gotten worse since 2020. We need to be rooted in Christ more than ever. We need the stability that comes with Jesus Christ. We need the strength that comes with Jesus Christ. We need to be fixed in the ground of God's word. And so this is the only way we will grow spiritually. So if you want a New Year's resolution and it says, I want to grow spiritually, this is going to be where it's at. This is going to be where it is at. And so some key words that you're going to hear throughout these messages, and we'll get to our main point here and coming up in just a moment. The key words that we're going to talk about are firm, strength, stability, fixed, anchored, steadfastly joined. If you want to take some things home today, take those words and ask God, am I steadfastly joined to you and to Christ? Am I fixed in your word? Where, and this is applicable to all of us, including me, where could I use some improvement? What areas can I grow in? What could I give more time to that would help me to become, can I say, better rooted in Christ? Number two today, that's kind of your introduction. That's kind of explaining where I'm wanting to go with this and some definitions or descriptions of being rooted in Christ. But let's probe a little bit more into how one becomes rooted, because you don't just show up to church and all of a sudden you're rooted in Christ. You don't just all of a sudden, it just happens. But there is something very specific. Notice in verse 6 of Colossians 2, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, or so walk ye in him. But that first part is what I want to talk about for the bulk of the rest of the message. In other words, I want to answer the question, how does a person even become rooted in Christ? Are all of us rooted in Christ here today? I don't know. In fact, I mean, I can look at fruit. I can know, I can believe, I can think, but ultimately that is between you and the Lord, and you know, and the Lord knows, but Paul gives us a clear answer here of how a person becomes rooted in Christ. In other words, in order for a person to grow spiritually, one needs to be spiritual or be a believer. And I think what Paul is saying, that just as we should desire to walk and to be rooted and to be built up and to be established in the faith, you first, in order to do those things, that's a great desire for the church at Colossae and for us today. First and foremost, we have to be rooted in Christ. In other words, we need to be saved. We need to be believers. And so can I say it this way? We need to be born again. We need to be regenerated. How do you and I become children of God? Through regeneration or the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, those who are in Christ are new creations or creatures, but literally creations. We are reborn, obviously not physically, but there's a spiritual birth into the family of God at the moment of salvation. That is how you become rooted in Christ. That is how you receive Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice here that receiving Jesus Christ the Lord means we believe by faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. So I want to say it this way. Salvation begins and continues with Jesus Christ. You cannot be rooted in Christ unless you first have believed in Jesus Christ. I believe what Paul is saying, and through my studies, he is saying that salvation starts with faith, believing, as ye have there received Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul goes on to say that salvation continues in the faith. This doesn't mean that you need to be continually saved over and over again. But he says, just as you believe by faith, you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, that you trust in him, you also now must trust, continue to trust, and by faith, in walking with him. Do you remember what Hebrews says? Hebrews 11:6. says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul earlier said in the book of Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I believe at the moment of salvation, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to grow and to continue to be rooted in Christ, to grow and to have fruit, according to Colossians 1:10, you must continue to have faith, because it is impossible to please him any other way. We must continue to trust him. We see examples of that throughout the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so I want you to notice something, three things here in this verse that I think is applicable to this, how do we become rooted in Christ? Again, you don't become rooted in Christ by showing up to church, by tithing, by doing good works. You don't become rooted in Christ by saying some magic words, by even reading your Bible. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's repenting of our sins. That's how the initial becoming rooted in Christ. But of course, we're looking at the future, and we're talking about walking with Christ. That's the main thrust. But I didn't want to jump in there, because I think Paul says, first, it's how you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It's by faith, both of them. So look here, faith takes hold on and believes in a person. He doesn't say creeds. He says, as you therefore received a person, Christ Jesus the Lord. Faith is in an object. The object is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. This is not faith in tradition. This is not faith in any church. It is not faith in religion. It is not faith in good works. The faith is in Jesus Christ. Number two, the faith, he says specifically, is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Something we forget about. But you remember Paul and the Philippian jailer in Acts 16? And we quote this a lot as a witness, as an opportunity, because of what it says. You remember when the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? What the response was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not just believe on Jesus. Not just believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to digress too far off of this. And we may not understand all the implications when we became a Christian of what Jesus Christ as Lord meant. But the reality is, in order to become saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And again, the moment you became saved, might not understand all the ramifications. And frankly, we might not understand to this day. But certainly we've grown to understand. But we are saying we're no longer the Lord of our life. We repent of our wrong actions. This is not us. This is a new master. Now, you don't say those words. You may not understand that totally. But that's what repentance is about. And specifically, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And I think one of the reasons he says this is because a historical Jesus is not enough. A good person, it's not enough. Jesus was a good person. Just about everybody who admits that Jesus lived says that Jesus was a good person. A good prophet is not enough. You notice here that here in Colossians, it is the emphasis that Christ Jesus the Lord, and I want to quote here, it is the idea that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, Son of God, and full deity. And I'll be honest, this is what sets apart some of the cults. They say they believe in Jesus. But to me, it's a different Jesus than if it isn't Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. That is a doctrine that we cannot let go of, because it's truth. Jesus Christ over and over. And that's why he was being put on trial, because he said, I am God. I'm the Son of God. I'm God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Lord, he's not a speculative Christ. He is not just another in the line of gods. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And that is the faith that one must believe in. It is this person. But number three, a person cannot receive Jesus Christ through the clear revelation of God's word and believing in Jesus Christ as Lord, and then skip walking with him for the rest of his or her life. In other words, what Paul is saying is, you've received him, you believed, but then you got to continue to walk in him. So some reason there's been this idea in our churches that if you're saved, there's fire insurance, and I believe in eternal security. But then you can live whatever you want. And I want to tell you today, Paul is saying exactly the opposite. He's saying, you don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and then put yourself back as the master again. No, you receive Jesus Christ the Lord and walk in light of that, as if he's Lord, and he is, every day as best you can. And of course we mess up. Of course we sin. And of course we fail and we fall. None of us are perfect. The old nature is attacking at all, it seems like, all times. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. So we understand that, but Paul is saying, walk now in him. Walk in Jesus Christ the Lord. Can I say it this way? This is an opportunity for all of us to not just stay at this point in our life, but 2024 is to take another step forward in our spiritual growth. And we do it by being rooted in Christ. We're going to talk more about this next week and what this all looks like. But it's talking about, don't just stay a baby believer. Don't just stay a believer. You know what? I've been to every church service that I could get to, that was had the ability to get to in my life. I've been to every Bible study. I've been to every prayer breakfast. I mean, you name whatever you've done in all the years of your church going. And then all of a sudden, you come to this year and say, you know what? I seem to know everything. I don't need this anymore. And I know I'm being a little facetious. That's not the truth. But sometimes we act that way. Even us who are pastors. And we start to slip. And we start to, a little less. You know, I know that I got my beliefs down. You know who needs this the most? Probably the pastor. Needs to continue to be growing and studying and learning and living. So let's bond together this year to take the next step spiritually, to not stay in the stage we were before, whether it was the young, the baby stage, the young child stage, whatever stage you're in. Commit to growth. Commit to walking with him this year. And the word walk means behavior. It has the idea of behavior. It means literally to live or behave in a specified manner. What is the manner specified here? In him. To behave in him. To live and act according to Christ. You say, Pastor Randy, all great words. It's great, great thought, great truth. I agree. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you one small way that we could do this year. And we'll, again, there'll be more opportunities in the next two sermons to explain. There is one passage that has stuck with me so long, and I need to be reminded of it. And it's Philippians 2. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, look not on the things, on your own things, but on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then the illustration is given of that humility. All of us can need humility. We are very good at looking at our own things. We are so good at it. And I'm not talking about you don't need to give me a bunch of gifts. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying consider this week how you look at your stuff and how Jesus would look at his stuff or your stuff and say, God, I give this is all yours. It's all yours. I have an illustration, but I better not give it because it's probably too personal to a couple people in here. But I had something happen recently, and it was a joke. It was a joke to me. And it was about coming to me and trying to get some stuff from me. And I said to the person, I said, come get it all you want because it isn't mine. And I pretty much ended the conversation. You can have all my stuff you want. You want my shoes? You want my computer? I guess you can have it. The point being is, look not on our own stuff. Look on the needs of others. That's one way we can walk in Christ this year. So Paul is commanding the believer that has received Jesus Christ to now behave in the ways of Jesus Christ. Let our lives be guarded and guided by Christ this year. We're not to believe in Jesus Christ and then forsake his divine authority for any human tradition or dominion. We are to continue to walk in it. And so if you're here today, maybe you're not walking with Christ and following his ways. There are two things possible. One, you haven't received him as Lord. You haven't believed. Or number two, you're kind of stuck in neutral. Probably that's where most of us would end up, because we'd admit there's something there. We're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to be rooted, you need to be first regenerated and second have that desire to live and grow through Jesus Christ's power and under his authority. Look at the last paragraph in your notes at the bottom of your page. For this new year, being rooted in Christ is going to be a decision you have to make. It's not a decision you should enter in casually or nonchalantly. It should be done seriously because we cannot be indifferent about Jesus Christ. You cannot be indifferent about Jesus Christ. We have to be all in for him. And I know, all in, there's always an area of improvement. So all in is meaning we have that desire, but continually looking to be growing and walking. And this rooted is a process. But if our lives are not in for him all the way, we will not take root in him. Make Jesus Christ the firm foundation of your life. Then, in the sinking sand of this world out here, and my brother said to me last night after our latest swim lesson that we've been doing, personal swim lessons that my brother and I are doing because we never learned when we were kids. And so we're trying, and man, it's hard when you're this age to learn something new like that. And I sure am feeling it. But he said to me, he's like, New Year's coming in a couple days. And he said, this 2024 year is going to be a year like we've never seen before. And I think he's talking about politics. That's what he was referring to. He's like, the political landscape is like, it's like a powder keg. And something crazy is going to happen. He's probably right. Root yourself in Jesus Christ. Because when this craziness happens, he's the only one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's close.